Greetings. My name is Will Packer. I'm a film and television producer with 10 movies that have opened number one at the box office and a filmography that has grossed over $1 billion. Not too shabby for a kid who grew up not even knowing where Hollywood was. Now, as proud as I am of that resume, I'm just as proud to be the author of Who Better Than You? The Art of Healthy Arrogance and Dreaming Big. In this book, I take insights learned from nearly 3 decades of dealing with some of the most famous, most successful, and most difficult people on the planet. And I share how you can use those insights to launch a successful career, foster stronger relationships, and overall live a more fulfilled, blockbuster life. Take a listen while I break down 5 big ideas from my book. Big idea number 1, be arrogant. I'll never forget Kevin Hart saying to me, "Will, these people don't know who the heck you are." It was after an international screening of our record-breaking movie, Ride Along, and I had stood in front of a sold-out crowd and hyped them up with a ton of bravado and confidence as I introduced our film. "That's their fault, not mine," I replied. Some of the highest-achieving people have healthy arrogance. Superior confidence not only in themselves and their abilities, but also in their predestined success. Not that they might be successful, not that they desire to be successful, but that they are meant to be successful. This manifests itself in ways that you may not immediately even think of. These are individuals that, when in a room full of successful and powerful people, don't think, "Uh-oh, I'm not sure if I belong." They think, "Not only do I belong in this room, but this room is better because I'm in it." Now, this is not to be confused with toxic arrogance, which enters a room and announces, "I'm better than you. I'm winning because you're losing." Healthy arrogance exhibits the qualities of true leaders who understand that the surest way to a win is by getting others to see the shared value and commonalities in your goals. It's about getting everyone to row together in the same direction. Now, sure, Hollywood is the land of outsized egos and unsubstantiated hubris, but people in all walks of life can learn a lot from the mindset that I've got something major to bring to the table, whether others realize it or not. That kind of purposeful way of thinking has a contagious effect on those around you. My first movie was a tiny student film shot when I was just a junior in undergrad. The film wasn't that great, to be honest, but we went all out and held a black tie premiere on campus in our student auditorium. We invited the heads of every major studio in Hollywood. Now, not one of them showed up, mind you, but that is not the point. Because we took it so serious, it forced those around us to take it seriously too. We got support and resources from students and adults alike that we otherwise wouldn't have. Many of them thought, "I'm not sure if this is really a thing, but these student filmmakers are acting like it's a thing, and I don't want to be left out if it is a thing." People are attracted to successful people who they perceive to be flourishing and triumphant. Healthy arrogance can open doors for you because it forces others to not only respect your mentality, but believe in it. Big idea number 2, take the thunder out. One of my number 1 movies is a heist flick called Takers, and it stars the late Paul Walker along with an all-star cast of really good-looking male actors. Takers stood out because this heist crew is clean-cut and very dapper, wearing suits, ties, and pocket squares. They were the best dressed thieves in cinema. Now, a lot of movies have a story of a moment where that movie almost doesn't happen, but very few get to the first day of production and damn near fall apart. Despite all the conversations between myself and the studio about the look of the film, somehow, inexplicably, on day 1 of shooting, Paul Walker showed up in ripped jeans, a scruffy beard, and a baseball cap. Now, that alone wasn't a big deal. Actors show up looking all kinds of crazy before professional glam squads get their makeup brushes and hair gel on them. The difference this time is that Paul insisted that this was his best look for the film, and he refused to change. The head of the movie studio was livid. Fireworks went off immediately. As I'm trying desperately to intervene between my studio chief and my star yelling and screaming at each other, I'm getting calls from my director on set telling me it's time to shoot the first shot. Paul had now retreated to his trailer and was planning a flight back to Hawaii. I went to talk to him 1-on-1. Now, mind you, I felt like I had done everything I needed to make sure all parties knew and were on board with the vision for our film. I didn't feel like this was my fault, and I was upset it had gotten to this point. As soon as I walked in his trailer, the first thing I said was, "I am so sorry." I continue. "This is our first time working together, and you are so unhappy, and your experience has been extremely negative to this point. I take a lot of pride in putting talent in position to succeed. Clearly, that hasn't happened, and it doesn't even matter how we got here. I take full responsibility for that. I'm going to make it my mission to make sure every day from this point forward is better than today. Because on a Will Packer set, I never want you to feel the way you're feeling right now. I said it, and I meant it." After a few deep breaths, he responded, "I get it. You're the good cop, but you're a damn good one." We got past that moment. The movie was a success, and Paul and the cast looked great in it. See, my approach not only gave Paul somebody he could tangibly assign fault to who wasn't the exec he was screaming at, it also showed him somebody felt real remorse for him being as upset as he was. In a high-pressure situation, our default can be to fight back, prove you're right and the other person or entity is wrong. Too often we think apologizing, admitting wrong, accepting blame is a sign of weakness. On the contrary, it's a way of actually taking control of a situation so you can move past and focus on what the essential goal is in that moment. Taking the thunder out of a situation can give you all the leverage. Big idea number three. Sometimes you have to fabricate momentum. We all know the saying that the first step is the hardest. It's easy to get stuck in a rut trying to just get started with a particular endeavor or undertaking. I remember trying to raise 6 to 7 figures to make my first independent film. And for the life of me, I couldn't come close to that fundraising target. So instead of a financial goal, I pivoted to a date goal. I said to myself, whatever I'm able to raise in 3 months' time, that will be the budget of the film. I was only able to raise $75,000. So I went out and shot a very low budget $75,000 movie. But now I had some momentum. I had something to show people what I had accomplished. Most importantly, I had something to show myself that I could do it. And my next movie had a little bit bigger budget, and the next one a little bigger than that. Sometimes we have to convince ourselves that we are progressing, even if it feels like we aren't. If your first step is climb the mountain and your second step is plant the flag, well, that first step is too momentous. The first step needs to be buy the hiking shoes. The next step, buy the rope. Third step, go drive by the mountain, look at it and formulate a plan. Before you know it, you've actually done a few attainable steps. Sometimes we need to fabricate some momentum to power our own mental propulsion. It's okay to make that first step a much more manageable one, just so you can accomplish it, say that you did it, and move on to the next goal. Don't allow yourself to get stuck on the first rung. Adjust your perspective so you can give yourself credit for having done something. Slow progress is still progress. Sometimes we just need a reason to cheer ourselves on. We can all use a little applause at the beginning. Big idea number four, the enemy is to the north. In the hit TV show Game of Thrones, there are these warring kingdoms ready to fight to the death over who gets the power of the throne, all while there is an unstoppable zombie army marching from the north coming to destroy them all. Whenever my wife and I are having some disagreement about something that seems really important but is actually trivial in the scheme of things, one of us will remind the other, the enemy is to the north. Too often in life, we underestimate the value and impact of strong personal relationships on our business pursuits and endeavors. Business meetings, negotiations, pitches, etc. are like going to war. You can't go into combat ready to give maximum effort when you've been arguing about which boots to wear on the battlefield all night. The more relaxed, confident, and stress-free you are, the more prepared you'll be for conflict that really matters. Every now and then, I remind my wife that our positive relationship and her undying support of me at home is a great tool in my business arsenal. She doesn't love that comparison. But the truth is, Whether in business relationships or personal ones, we all fall victim to getting caught up in the minutia of minor quarrels while losing track of the bigger substantive challenges that await. Remember this, only those that are able to stay focused on the big picture goals will survive the zombie apocalypse. Big idea number five, find the wrinkle in their slacks. Okay, what happens right after people take a group picture? Everyone rushes to review it, right? Lest the moment pass and a bad picture somehow makes its way online, ruining lives for all posterity. And then what happens when they review the picture? Do they look at all the folks in it? No. They zoom right into themselves, right past you, right past the Great Pyramids of Egypt or whichever wonder of the world they're standing in front of. They zoom right in to the wrinkle in their slacks or whatever thing it is that always bothers them about their appearance. Then all they can say is, no, we have to take another one. If you want to connect with anyone anywhere, find out very early on, what's that person's wrinkle in their slacks? What makes them tick, floats their boat, keeps them up at night, gets them out of bed in the morning? You have to read people. People's favorite subject is quite often themselves. People always want to talk about themselves, want to tell you what they need, tell you what they've done. You can use that to your advantage. Your success depends on it. Good leadership relies on you being able to get those around you to work towards your goals because they understand that they have a stake in them as well. Your objective needs to align with the greater good. For that to happen, you need to understand what's important to other people. Then tie that into your aims and push together towards mutual success. Guys, I really appreciate you listening to the five big ideas from my new book, Who Better Than You? The Art of Healthy Arrogance and Dreaming Big. Throughout the book, I tell stories from three decades on the front lines of Hollywood, the things I've learned and the skill sets that I've honed. I'm of the ardent belief that these are skills that you can use throughout your life, no matter the industry. And I'll leave you with the answer to the question that I ask, who better than you? The answer is, of course, no one.